Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello from Washington. We are back to help you learn and improve your American English skills. Each day we present interesting stories from around the world in a way that makes it easy for you to follow along if English is not your first language. Today we have two stories for you. The first one is about a new way to make tea that is easier on the environment. Then we're off to the UK for a story about the real estate market and dirty Russian money. It's a chance for you to listen and learn with the Voice of America. Here is part one. There is a change in the air at the tea factory in Tika, Kenya. It is free of the dark smoke that rises from the boilers of Kenya's other tea factories. The Makumboki Company has begun to use a less costly and more environmentally friendly fuel. Instead of burning wood, the tea maker is burning briquettes made of plant and animal material waste. Jonathan Evans has the story.
The Kenya Tea Development Authority supervises 66 tea factories in the country. Makumboki is the only one that does not use firewood in tea production. Its factory is deep in central Kenya's hilly and fertile tea-growing Murang'a County. The Makumboki employees there feed the factory's boilers with briquettes of macadamia, cashew, and rice husks, the dry outer covering of the seeds mixed with sawdust. John Jitao is the manager at the factory. He expressed excitement about the change in fuel at the factory. He said Makumboki has not used a single cubic meter of firewood in the last 6 months. In 2010, the International Trade Center started a training project. It aimed to teach Kenyan tea makers new production methods that would help limit the release of climate change gases. As a result, Makumboki company leaders decided to change their fuel source from firewood to briquettes. Since then, the factory has increased its use of alternative fuels and stopped depending on firewood. Taylors of Harrogate is a Makumboki client. The British Tea and Coffee Company helped the Kenyan factory change fuels. It connected Makumboki with the Living Earth Foundation. The non-governmental group donated the machines to make the briquettes. The husks for the briquettes come from other factories within Murang'a and Kiambu counties. The sawdust comes from mills near the tea factory. John Jitao said, it takes the factory 6 months to produce about 2.5 million kilograms of tea. During that time, their boilers would use up to 10,000 cubic meters of wood, or about 30,000 trees worth. He said by trading firewood for sawdust and briquettes, Makumboki alone will have saved 60,000 trees in 1 year. And he said, if all the factories in Kenya did this, a lot of trees would be saved. Mary Njinga is a postdoctoral fellow of bioenergy at the World Agroforestry Center. She welcomes the use of sawdust in the making of fuel briquettes. She said, burning sawdust is efficient. The temperatures inside the boilers of tea factories are so high, she said, they are able to more fully burn the particulate matter and the carbon dioxide so that little is released. Makumboki manager John Jitao said, tea factories that continue to use firewood can't ignore their own part in the adverse effects of climate change. The move away from firewood also makes financial sense. Mr. Jital said changing to fuel briquettes has reduced Makamboki's energy cost by nearly half. The factory used to spend $542,000 per year on firewood. Now, the introduction of briquettes has cut the energy bill to $295,600. John Jital said representatives from other factories have visited Makamboki to learn more about the alternative fuel. He said he hopes they will follow his company's lead. I'm Jonathan Evans.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Anti-corruption activists say billions of dollars earned from criminal acts are passing through the London property market. They also say a lot of the money for housing and other real estate is coming from Russia. The British government is now promising to fight the money laundering activities. But one investment advisor told VOA the government has known about the problem for years. Bob Doty has our report.
Over the past 5 years, major properties in London have risen in value by 42%. Activists say one reason for the increase is the rise in the use of what they call dirty money to buy homes and buildings. Recently, a British television program reported on an investigation into the use of stolen money to buy property. The program was called From Russia with Cash. In the show, anti-corruption activist Roman Borisovich was seen speaking with several real estate agents in central London. Mr. Borisovich told them he was a Russian government minister who wanted to buy property with stolen money. The activist later told VOA on Skype that the agents did not care where the money came from.
They were all eager to proceed. Even if when I was telling them that the money was meant for procurement of drugs and I stole the money, and you know, obviously some sick people were deprived of health care, and they could not care less.
Mr. Borisovich says the real estate agents all suggested he buy the properties through overseas companies to hide the identity of the buyer. He says one agent proposed he use the relaxed tax laws of Cyprus and the British dependency of Jersey to create a trust. The agent said this legal agreement then could be used to set up what investigators call a shell company.
And this particular agent was volunteering to put us in front of a Jersey financiers to put the trust together and a Cypriot lawyer to put everything else together.
The British government says foreign companies own $191 billion worth of property in Britain. Prime Minister David Cameron has said that most are legal businesses, but he admitted some are not.
We need to stop corrupt officials or organized criminals using anonymous shell companies to invest their ill-gotten gains in London property without being tracked down.
Justin Urquhart Stewart works at Seven Investment Management. The company helps people invest money. He says the British government has known about the money laundering problems for years.
And this is dirty money, coming from crime, maybe coming from terrorism. So this needs to be dealt with now.
British law says real estate agents must tell officials if they believe the money being used to buy property comes from criminal activities. But many agents say they should not be expected to know the source of money, especially when buyers are using complex methods to hide fraud. I'm Bob Doty.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. Plant roots are important to life on Earth. Roots take in water and nutrients that the plant needs to live and grow. They also help secure plants in dirt to prevent erosion, the breakdown of soil by natural forces. Roots are the subject of a new exhibit at the United States Botanic Garden in Washington, D.C. It shows in great detail what is taking place underground and the ecosystem services roots provide. The exhibit is called Exposed, The Secret Life of Roots. Megan Freer went to the show recently.
I was like, oh, an exhibit on roots. How boring can this be? But then you walk in and you're just, wow.
Visitors to the Botanic Garden see dry roots hanging on a display wall in a large room. Some of the roots are from native prairie grasses. Others are from crop plants like wheat and corn. All of the roots are rolled up and dried up so they do not touch the floor. A few of the roots are several meters long. Susan Pell is Science and Public Programs Manager at the U.S. Botanic Garden. She says this unexpected sight sends a powerful message to the visitors. Roots are the foundation for life.
They are what absorb nutrients for the plants, absorb water for the plants, to allow the plants to photosynthesize and to make sugars. And plants themselves are really what we depend on entirely as a species.
The roots appear to be growing out of a wide view picture of a farmer's field. Visitors can also see some of the grasses outside the Botanic Garden. They are growing with garden vegetables like carrots and beets. Susan Pell takes hold of a soybean plant and explains why farmers depend on roots.
They have these little nodules on them which contain a bacterium which fixes nitrogen. And that's sort of a fancy way of saying it makes nutrients available to plants that otherwise would not be available to those plants.
And that is important because it helps plants grow. Louisa Balin lives in the southeastern state of Florida. Florida's ecosystem is very different from the grasslands of the American Midwest. In the exhibit, she gets a sense of the problem in drought-stricken areas where roots run deep.
If these have to go so deep into the ground and they need water for sustenance, you just really kind of wonder, are we going to be able to sustain agriculture?
Program manager Susan Pell hopes visitors like Ms. Balin leave with a new understanding of our natural systems and the urgency to protect them from environmental problems. And that's the VOA Environment and Science Report. I'm Marcia James.
Arsenis Lushevis Vuo Hazepi, Magram, Zus, Rusuri Politica, Romelitska Hotsilda.
Pirad istorie bi da politikur narrativebi sakmaot ganzkhovebulia da sva surats izleva.
Konfliktisa da omis ambavi, radio tavisuplebis programashi gadakvetis tserdili. Gadatsema mzatdeba Berkhofis fondtan tanamshomlobit. Usminet qovel samshabats, sagamos 7 saatidan, akhali ambebis shemdeg.